shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
All right.
What's happening, everybody?
Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's a Monday night. We're back on Mondays. That's right. Regular days, Mondays. I can never tell if the music's too loud or not. It doesn't sound like it's too loud. I don't think so. If I put my headphones on so I can hear myself. There we go. What's going on? I hope your Monday's going well. My Monday has been fantastic. It wouldn't be a regular Monday or a regular Plum Love Foods. Oh, I hear some music. What's that? Is that the best around? Well, that can only mean one thing, that music, guys. We're joined by the one, the only, Chef Dave. Dave, what's up, brother?
Yo, it's good.
I got the, like, quick out there on your music. It wasn't even a fade. It was just quick out. dude, what's happening, man? How's your Monday?
Not bad. Had a early shift. Got home around 7, so doing pretty good.
Yeah, how's the new gig going? You digging it?
Oh, yeah, I dig it. I like it a lot, actually. It's good. A lot different than most kitchens that I've worked, so I like it.
Yeah, it's a different scenario over there, that's for sure. But you guys are learning some great stuff and doing some great things over there, which is even better.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I get to do a couple features on Sundays, so I like that as well.
Now, what's the difference between a feature and a special?
I don't really. That's just a different word.
Thanks for clarifying, man. I appreciate that. What was some specials you've done lately, man? Let's hear them. Because it's a new thing for you to get in there and kind of be the man, right?
Yeah. Yesterday we did lamb starter, pesto mash, like three lollipops, lamb chops, a red sauce, marinated roasted peppers. And then just like the fennel, arugula, parmesan salad on top. So yeah. That one we did yesterday. And then since it was football, I was like, we're totally doing a buffalo chicken flatbread. So we did that. And then I think that was all we did yesterday. And then I got a couple things ordered so I can run a couple fish specials. I have an idea, a few ideas for.
I can't talk about football, man. It's no secret if you follow me on Instagram and, of course, here on the program. I'm a giant football fan. I'm a big Steelers fan. And, dude, our game ended yesterday in a tie with the Cleveland Browns. Thank you. Thank you. I agree, and I can't help but laugh myself. We are I say we as if I'm on the team. But the Steelers are potential Super Bowl contenders this year, but yet we still have a tie with the Browns. I can't even deal.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they? Are they really at this point?
Let's get the fuck out of here. Yes. Yes.
All right.
God damn it. But I was so pissed. I'm like, really? I mean, the game didn't end till like 5, you know, I don't know. It was a late game. It was crazy.
Wait, was that the game that went for like 7 hours?
It felt like it. No, that was a tight game that got delayed. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Dude, funny, man. I couldn't believe it. I was... How do we end in a tie? Like, of all games, it's the fucking Browns. Come on, dude. Really?
Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, are you sure about that Super Bowl contender?
Man, look. I'm telling you right now. Listen. Don't get me started.
All right. Whatever, man. I mean, I have no idea what the Lions score is right now, but I'm sure it's not good.
I mean, it can't be that bad, right? It can't be that bad. I mean, they're not going to lose to the Jets. That's crazy talk, right?
No, it's the Lions, bro. I mean, we went a season where it was 0-16. So, yeah.
Well, that's true too, I guess. Well, listen, I'll tell you right now. I'm gonna look up the score for you in a second and tell you what the score is. But you know, we got a fun new partner here for the next 2 weeks hanging out in the show with us, man. Our good friends over at Line Threads are kind of going to be a part of us. And we'll see if we can even get them to hang out with us next week. That'd be fun on the show. But the fun part is he's given us like a shirt and a hat to give away, or your choice of a shirt and a hat, whatever, which is pretty cool of him to do, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Can you tell us more about Line Threads, sir, since you are the representation of Line Threads?
Yes. Line Threads, where cooking is the calling, not a lifestyle. You can check them out, right? You can check them out, linethreads.com, or on their Instagram at line.threads. Or there's a third option, and it's always my favorite. You can go to my Instagram at dave.boredom, click the link in the bio, and use promo code DaveBoredom when you check out.
It's DaveBoredom, man. You get a discount when you go there, right?
Yep, definitely.
And we're going to think of some fun way to give away this stuff from Line Threads, man. They're a great company, and the shirts are dope, and they do it. There's all kinds of great designs over there. You can check them out at linethreads.com. There's great designs of the shirts. I mean, the hats are dope. I'm not a hat guy because all I have is my purple hair, and if you cover that up, I don't have much left, Dave. That's it. You know that. You're not supposed to agree with that, though. That's the one thing. Like, I can't allow you to just agree with me when it comes to that. That makes it too simple. If you just agree, we can't have that.
All right, fair enough.
Right on. Yeah, I heard you. I hear you on that, on the old TDs, right?
Yeah.
But we'll play it off and keep moving forward. Hey, listen, we got a great guest tonight, man. I'm excited to talk to Chef Kev. Here's a fun part about Chef Kev. We met him at Food and Wine Festival for Mohegan last year, right?
Yeah.
I think we were kind of, you know, knives chopping, heads down and focused, and we could have been hanging out with some of these guys a little bit more. But, you know, that's lesson learned. I think here in the future we'll learn more about it. But Kev came and hung out with me out in Montauk this summer one night, which was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And here's one another cool thing about Kev is he just finished the Great Food Truck Race. He was a runner-up this season.
Oh, really?
Which is an interesting show. I can't wait to talk to him more about that. And this guy's on TV all over the place, and you know, he's one of those guys that you look at, and I'll tell him, you look at him, you're like, oh my God, that's a big dude, kind of intimidating. But then you talk to him, you're like, that dude, he's just a fucking mush. He's awesome.
Nice.
I mean, I don't mind guys like that, but I think he's a really good cook, too, which is really important. I think when you're going to be, I guess this is my issue. You have a lot of guys who go on these shows and do things, who go to festivals, who are lucky enough to get invited to go places, but they're just not good cooks. Like, they get by on making something silly, you know?
I can see that.
Or, you know, they get by on, you know, they have one good thing and they get by on making that. But if you ask them about the mother sauces, they couldn't tell you. If you ask them how to cut a brunoise, they wouldn't be able to tell you.
Yeah, that's true. I get what you're saying with how things are definitely changing.
It's more about, like, can you be entertaining than can you be, you know, an actual cook and teach something and show something?
Yeah, and there is a difference in that, and I think a lot of that is a cooker, a chef, or a food personality.
Right. Which there's definitely, I mean, that's definitely a thing now, right? The food personality.
Yeah, I've realized there's definitely been classified as a food person. I mean, it's usually a foodie or somebody that knows how to cook but isn't actually in the business per se. Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I get that.
Hey guys, how we doing? Oh, good to be here. Doing well. Losing you, still there? Okay, I can hear you now. Oh. This has been the busiest summer I've had in a very, very long time. I've been in restaurants for 20 plus years, so I'm always busy in the summer and weekends and nights and holidays, but this summer I filmed a season of the Great Food Truck Race, so I was gone for that for 6 weeks. And immediately when I got back, I had product events and festivals and things just lined up through the calendar for the whole summer, and still going. Oh, the filming part was fun. Yeah, it was, that was a great, you know, but as soon as that's done, I switch gears and I'm right back, you know, doing the private chef thing. So I'm doing, like, you know, private dinners in the Hamptons and Newport and Boston and Nantucket and just all over the place. So I got to just kind of put that away and then start doing logistics and writing menus. And you know the deal. You do the same thing. Say that again. Yeah, I mean, I say this all the time on different shows and whatnot, but the cooking part for you and I and guys like us is the easy part. It's the logistics and the planning and dealing with the clients and getting their menus together and the travel and the food getting to where it's supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. That's the challenging part. Once it comes to the cooking, like, that's like, all right, now we're doing it. This is the easy part. Yeah, it's just like a switch. You get there and it's on. You're just doing your thing. All the other stuff is like, all right, let's make it all work. Yeah, I mean, going into the private world from the restaurant world, I mean, you have your kitchen, you set up the same way every night, you're doing a lot of stuff over and over again. For us now, it's like different kitchen, different menu, different clients, different style of party, so that's the kind of thing you got to keep up on. Yeah, well, we sold the most throughout the course of the entire season. So to me, being a chef and a restaurant guy, it's all about numbers. So I take that as a win. The show, with all its tweaks and challenges and TV numbers and all that, another team won, and kudos to them because they stepped up when they needed to. But we had an amazing season. We won a bunch of episodes. We won a ton of food challenges. I'm super happy about the way that our team performed on the show. So it was 6 weeks. We left beginning of April. I didn't get back until the second week in May. So, you know, we got through all these crazy cities, sent a truck home every episode, started in L.A., went through the desert in a food truck to Vegas, and from Vegas to Phoenix, and then from Phoenix down to Yuma, Arizona. We went to Coachella and Palm Springs. And then we went back up to L.A. for the final. So it was quite a West Coast trek. I think a few seasons they did one, I think, started in Boston or something, Connecticut, and went all the way up to Maine and hit the cities along the way. So I think there's been East Coast ones in the past.
Man, it's such a fun show to watch and such a fun show to be a part of. I think the most interesting part about that program is they want people who don't have food truck experience, right?
Yeah, well, I never watched the show before I went on it. I probably should have done my homework, but after being on the show, I found out that every season was a little different. There's been a season where it's been only food truck operators, and then there's been a season where there was people who've never set foot on it, and then there was another one's like family. So, but our season, you know, I've been a chef forever, but I've never literally stepped foot on a food truck for any reason. So,
right.
I mean, it's the same, but very, very different because you have to be not just a good chef, you have to be able to be a mechanic and a salesman and a navigator and all these crazy things that are separate from the world of cooking, that it's not just a cooking show. It's like, it's a business show as well.
Now, dude, how was that too? Because like you guys had like a New England, what you called New England grill, right? Like that, doing New England food all across, especially the West Coast and whatnot. Were people receptive to it?
Yeah, I really wasn't sure concept. This is a New England grill, so it's all like the local seasonal fun stuff that I've been doing my whole career, lobster fritters and fish and chips and pot roast sliders and all that kind of New England stuff. But, I mean, I got to say, they were very receptive. And every city we went to, there was people, you know, transplants from Connecticut, Rhode Island, Boston. You know, you can't get that stuff out here, so they're really super psyched to see it out there. So that was really good.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy, man. It's just, I think, because like, you were saying, there's so many different types of people that are, I mean, I guess the point, L.A. is kind of like Florida. Like, no one's really actually lived, like, born and raised there. Most people are coming from out of town, right?
Exactly. Same thing with Vegas. I mean, how many people you know from Vegas?
Yeah, that's a
everybody
good
there is from all over. And, you know, some of these other cities were the same way. So they were just, and then, like, cities like Yuma that might be actual people from the area, they were psyched to try it because lobster fritters and things like that isn't something that they really have in the desert. So they were super psyched to try new stuff.
Man, it's such a fun thing to see. And then you guys were on there with, of course, our buddy Eddie, who is a good friend of yours, right? And who else is on there with you? Because there's three of you.
Yeah, so Chef Eddie G, and then Christine Hurley, who's a comedian from Boston, and she's a 50-year-old. Kind of dirty mother of five comedian. So I thought that it would be a good play to have somebody funny like that kind of be in our front of the house and talking to people on the street and getting us customers. Because, I mean, if you see some of the episodes, you don't always pull up and there's a line of people. You have to go out and get the people. You have to engage with the people walking by. I mean, a couple of the cities, the trucks were doing like 12 dishes in total sales.
Wow.
That's how many people were there. So you really have to grab the people that are actually there. So I figured, why not have a comedian? She's on the street doing her thing. It might be like a little added bonus rather than having like kind of three chefs just cooking, you know. So I thought that would be cool.
No, that worked. I mean, that's a great idea. I mean, and did she cook at all or was she just terrible?
She did not cook. She did not clean. She did not do any labor whatsoever, but she did. She did our chalkboard and collected the money. So we definitely needed somebody to do that. And she was... she was amazing for one funny, dirty one-liner every single episode. So they would highlight one of her sayings every single episode. So that was comedy.
Dude, how does she not clean? Come on, chef. Drop the hammer on her.
I know, but, you know, Eddie and I, just like you, are the type of guys that would be just like, you know, move. We're going to get this thing cleaned and get out of here. You know, we're going to bang this out. So you're probably going to be in our way anyway. So just go sleep in the car. That's just what it came down to. Because that's definitely what you don't see in the show. Like, it is for real. You're running a food truck business for the 6 weeks. You're cleaning the truck at the end of the night. You're buying all the provisions. You're emptying the gray water. You're filling the water and the ice. And every single morning, every single night, unloading. So that's all the behind-the-scenes things that you don't see. And you got to be able to stick that part of it out. A lot of teams were trying to go home in the middle because, you know, it was getting rough and 12-hour days, and then they had to clean the truck. Didn't want to do that. So, you know, Eddie and I just really kept that chef restaurant mentality, like we're just going to forge ahead and take this as a job.
Yeah, you just got to keep pushing and keep hustling, basically. That's what we do, man. And maintain that mentality probably really helped you.
Yeah, it did for sure. Got us all the way through. Sent every other truck home, and so, like I said, I'm super proud of the way that team performed in that situation, because it was not easy.
Joined tonight by Chef Kevin DeShane. Check him out at chefkevd.com and pick up Kev's book, Beyond My Chef Coat.
Yeah, and there's Dave. He's here. He's being really quiet, taking notes as you're talking about doing a food truck.
Thanks, Dave.
Listen, I've done 11 or 12 whatever Food Network appearances at this point, man, and I know that you know, a lot of times things aren't always as they seem on the Great Food Truck Race. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes in, that's involved with having a food truck, especially driving around a city and a town and whatnot. Do permits, like, how does that work? Like, you can't just park your truck anywhere and start selling food.
No, so the network would get our permits prior, but we wouldn't know where our grid, as they called it, would be. So they would give us a map right when it was go time and say, you know, these are your two or three areas that you need to stay within.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, to keep it that simple and keep those areas, and at least they cover the permit aspect of it, because I can imagine it's probably a pain in the ass to have them dealing with the permits.
Street or street,
sure.
Or it's going to be people.
Yeah.
But you can't always do that, so you have to get creative and find a side street that kind of links people in on the corner, and just you got to get creative, because places like LA, absolutely zero parking anywhere. Zero parking anywhere. So for a food truck, I mean, I'm driving around LA Live and the Staples Center and all these places, and there's lines of people everywhere. Lines going to see Bruce Springsteen, but you can't get anywhere near him because there's no parking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's four lanes of cars, and there's no parking on either side. So you kind of got to just weasel your way in there and get as close as you can.
Dude, that's hysterical, man, because you think about it, it's LA is probably the worst place ever to have a food truck, but it's probably also one of the best places ever to have a food truck because there's just so many people.
Yeah, no, I mean, not only because there's other great food trucks and there's amazing chefs out there that have food trucks and that are doing their thing, but bad because of the parking situation. And obviously, if you're from there and you have time to scope it all out and figure out kind of a schedule and where you can go when and things like that, it becomes much easier. But just pulling in cold and you have no idea, you just have to think on your feet and do it. And we moved a couple times in the final episode, but if we didn't, we would have done a lot worse in that final episode because there was just nobody anywhere where we were able to park. So we might have parked illegally a few times. Just really do whatever you got to do to get near the people.
Man, now how was your family when you left for 6 weeks? I know you have some young kids. Like, are they cool with that? Or, I mean, because obviously...
Oh, that was the roughest thing. Luckily, with Skype and things like that, I was able to see them and talk to them. And, you know,
oh, they let you talk to them?
Yeah. Well, because it was such a fluid situation and we were all traveling and every truck had their own pace car and every truck had their own production vehicle and there was helicopters. So we had our phones the whole time because, you know, we were traveling and always on the road.
So it wasn't one of these things. I mean, you know, a lot of times you do some of these programs and you can't, you know, like Top Chef, you can bring nothing. Food Network Star, you can bring nothing. None of that shit. But, you know, I mean, like when I was on The Taste on ABC, for some reason they let us keep our shit. I don't know why, but they did the first season. Second season, they didn't.
Yeah. And the same thing with Top Chef and some of those other ones. They sequester you because it's a very controlled environment. Where this was like the Wild West for real. It was like, do your thing. I mean, we couldn't use any of our personal social media. Because, I mean, Eddie has a huge following and some of the other people have huge. So you couldn't say, as Chef Eddie G, hey, come to my food truck, because the world really didn't know that we were on that truck at that time.
Right.
So that was the one caveat. You can't use any of your personal social media to try to get business. You have to create one from scratch as New England Grill and build it like you would if you had a new food truck.
Man, so if you create one from scratch, though, could you, like, I don't know, like, get some people behind you? For instance, like, you know, if I created one, I could, you know, start tagging our friends over at True Cooks and they would realize it's me. Like, I feel like that's a pretty easy way to, you know, hold to get around. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it would be if
slowly became more known that it was us.
Yeah.
So it became a little easier city to city, but at the beginning it was just like, well, I'm tweeting to three followers to come and buy from our food truck in LA. They could be 600 miles away,
right?
But it did. You did see it build from city to city, and build and build and build, and people started to follow. So it was definitely a cool thing to watch, but it definitely handcuffs you, because if I have 3,000 followers on Twitter, I could probably get a handful of them to come out to our location. And some of these episodes were the separation between first, second, or last place was like $40.
Wow, so that's that close, huh?
Yeah, every single sale really, really counted.
Man, that's insane. But it was fun, though, right? Like, you enjoyed it.
Oh, I had a blast. I mean, being away from the family sucked. And, you know, I had to turn down some big events. Like, I was supposed to do the Masters and a few other things that I was really looking forward to. But I figured this was a better opportunity. And once they see it, it's not like they're going to get pissed at me and never invite me back. So those things were a little touch and go, but other than that, it was a great experience.
Well, I think it's a great point to bring up is that, you know, you do events like this and shows like this, you know, or any of those shows, like, you got to understand, once you do them, I mean, and I mean this in a nice way, people who do them are a dime a dozen. Like everybody's done it. Everybody does these shows. But you got to understand how to take that and use it to help yourself in the future. It doesn't mean they're going to call you to be on Food Network next week, you know?
Right, and that's the thing with me, like, just like you, I've done a number of other shows, and the Bobby Flays and the Chef Wanted and Today's shows and all, and those things are great, don't get me wrong, I love doing it, but to me, they're just like a bonus to what I do in real life. Like, right. I love the position that I'm in right now, I love my private chef business is doing really well, I'm super happy with everything, and then if I get a call to do the Today Show, you know, that's great and I love it, but I don't build my career around it. You know, it's right. just kind of like a, one of the 40 things that I have going on, and it's a lot of fun, but it's just a bonus, you know?
It's just one of those things you can use to help promote yourself and help build your actual business, you know, because, you know, honestly, look, a great, I have a really close friend of mine who is a judge on Beep, obviously, all the time, and this person gets paid $100 per episode. Like, it's not what you think, I guess, especially in the world of TV now. It's really not what you think it used to be. That's for damn sure.
Oh, for sure. And it's, like I said, it's a bonus, and it's just another way to get your name out there, that's something it. Else to promote, and it's fun, but by no means do I go on one episode of one show and then promote my career around that.
That's it. That's all.
You know, it is what it is. You did it. It's cool. Like, as soon as I got back from the food truck race, I honestly didn't even think about it for a month because I was so busy and I was catching up and I had a chef week thing in Mexico and then I had a festival and I had all these dinners and I did birthday parties for athletes. Like, I couldn't sit and dwell on it. So it's not something that I, you know, that I dwell on. It's a really cool thing. It's done and done and move on to the next thing.
Oh, dude, when you and I were hanging out a couple weeks ago out in Montauk and we talked for literally probably, I don't know, 90 seconds about the show. Then it was about everything that's going on. And then we were like, oh, there's alcohol.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, it's cool. And the one thing I will say is the people that you meet and the crew and some of the cast and things like that. And then, you know, they're, you know, that's a bond. It's lifelong friends of people that you meet on the road or doing these shows. Not all of them, because some of them are dicks and some, you know, some of them are pains in the asses. But I met some really cool people again, you know, producers, a couple of the other chefs. You know, working with the other chefs for me is the cool part. So I always take that away with me, everything I do. And just, you know, same thing with hanging out with you. Like, we're chefs. We're all our people. You know, there's only one executive chef in every restaurant. So when you're hanging out with three or four of them, that doesn't get to happen all the time.
Right.
So, like, for instance, when we do the Sun Wine Fest, the best part of that for me is hanging out with you and Duffy and all, you know, Chris and Coombs and Santos and all those guys, because they're kind of on the same wavelength. They have the same issues and the same problems in the restaurants and their chef lives and things like that. So, you know, I always take that away from everywhere as well.
I mean, what a fun event that is, though, huh?
Oh, Sun Wine Fest. Yeah, that's one of my most fun ones on the East Coast for sure. I look forward to that every year. Lindsay and that crew take care of the chefs like nobody's business. And it's just a very well-run event. And I think it helps them that it's in a casino and everything's like right, you know, it's the center of everything. Yeah. So nobody has to go anywhere. It's like you go from the dine around to the after party to the brunch to the, it's all right there. So that definitely makes things easy.
Well, I think it's going to be even bigger this year, brother. I've been talking to Lindsay a little bit and just, you know, this is all like, you know, behind the scenes shit that Chef and I are talking about, but you know, whatever, it's what we do on this show. It's going to be amazing this year. And I hope to be a part of it again. And I can't wait. And I got a big pitch, man. I'm pitching Lindsay actually about this program and that show. I think it'd be a lot of fun. We just did our first live show in front of a crowd 2 weeks ago and it was sold out and it was awesome. There was like a bunch of people and we had a stretch Rumner come in. It was just awesome. It's such a great show to do that way. And so I think it'd be a fun, it kind of goes hand in hand, I think, with the two, where it's been like, you know, the live show and the actual event itself would go hand in hand together. So I don't know. I'm talking to Lindsay about it.
Yeah, the new convention center portion there too. If that comes into play, that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, so this would be great, man. Dude, Dave, are you still with us? Dave, you sleeping? Dave worked like
I'm still
long
here.
Day today, so I got to make sure you're still with us. Dave, you were texting me a second ago asking about the food on the truck, man. I was like, just fucking ask him. You can go ahead and do it. It's cool. I don't have to.
So, like, when you're going through different regions, you said they pretty much, you don't, do you actually know the ingredients you're going to have, or is it going to be like a surprise? And then if they do that, do you kind of modify it, or do you just kind of stay with like a mainstay? Like, do you adjust it for the region?
No, I tried to stick with the New England theme. We'd have to definitely tweak it because of the ingredients that were available to us. I mean, you can't always get fresh New England lobster in Yuma, yeah. Arizona.
That's what I was going to say. You can't get great lobster in New Mexico, can you?
Right, so we would plug in shrimp or something that, you know, and still stay with the New England theme of our lobster fritters, but we would make them shrimp corn fritters or you know, we did the fish and chips, and I think we were the only team that probably did 6 or 7 different dishes throughout the course of the show. So we would just keep mixing it up and selling what we had, and some of the other trucks would like be out of their main dishes and they would shut the doors.
Man, I know we're having a little bit of technical difficulties there with my audio. Sorry about that. I think that was me here with our beautiful Wi-Fi.
You want to sell everything.
Sorry, go ahead, brother.
And you want to just push. Yeah, you want to just push out everything that you can. So we never stopped selling. The ingredients, there was a couple occasions where they threw us a curveball and we would prep for our lobster fritters or something like that, and they would take that away from us and say, okay, today's a beef challenge or something like that. But those were the fun days because we get to do something different. You know, some of the other teams would get scared and things like that. And you could see on camera, Eddie and I just smiling and shaking our heads at each other like, okay, what are we making today?
Yeah.
So it's just about adapting. You know, it's like just like in a restaurant business. Something changes, you run out of something, you want to switch out something else, you just continue to push ahead. And the reason we made it through every city is that we just knew that we had to sell from the very beginning to the very end, no matter what it was. As soon as we opened that door, we would have something to sell. The 5 minutes it took for that oil to heat up, we would have something selling. Where a lot of trucks would sit there for an hour with their doors closed doing prep. And that's all money. That's all time. Because sometimes you only have 3 or 4 hours to sell. So we decided early on that we're going to sell from the very beginning to the very end, whether that meant sending Eddie to the store 6 times in Yuma or whatever the situation was. We just, there was no stopping us trying to sell from beginning to end, because 3 hours, if you're shut down for an hour trying to do prep, you're done.
Yeah, that's, you know, crazy, so, man. Yeah.
But the ingredients, it's whatever they threw at us. We tried to stick with our staples, but our menu changed quite frequently. We had fish and chips and fritters pretty much throughout as our 2 mainstays, and then we would plug in quesadillas or sausage and pepper sliders or, you know, kind of whatever we could New England-y to try to give some variety, but most of the time, it was 3 or 4 dishes at a time we would have on the menu.
Nice.
Nice, man.
Dude, where did you train at? Did you go to school, or are you just an old kitchen guy from years and years of experience, or what's your story?
Yeah, I'm an old kitchen guy. I went to school for business, and I just worked in restaurants the whole time. So I started out as a short order cook in a bar, and you know, just like it happens to everybody, the line cook didn't show up that day. All of a sudden, you're on saute. You know, and the next day, it's just like you work your way up. So I work in a ton of really cool restaurants with some good chefs. And just, I mean, for me, that's the best way to learn. I think that culinary school is super important as well. And you should do it, but you should definitely get the real world experience and put that into play. Because, you know, nothing is like a Saturday night in Boston when you're doing 300 covers. There's no classroom that can teach you that. So,
no doubt.
You know, it's like, I definitely would say if it's something that you want to do, definitely go to culinary school, but you can't beat experience.
Yeah, experience is so important, man. Experience is, it's one of those things I think that no matter if you go to culinary school or if you don't, you still have to have it. Like, you get that experience.
Looking back on stuff you're supposed to learn from, you know?
Right, and I think school is important like that, because you can go to school and you can get a good, you know, foundation. You know, for me, like, you know, I had years of experience working. I was running a restaurant in Virginia, in Richmond, for a long time before I went to culinary school. And then I went and got a foundation and got the discipline and got, you know, I learned the things that in my life I needed, where other guys don't need that. You know, they can learn different ways.
Absolutely. And you don't always have time in a restaurant to learn techniques and important little things that you can learn at culinary school. So I think there's definitely pluses to both, and I think the best way is to do a mix of it. Definitely work in a restaurant while you're going to culinary school and get both sides of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Brother, I'm going to tell you what, man. Dave texted me Saturday night. It was about, I don't know, I think they were getting ready to, I think it was shortly after the first rush. And Dave, how many covers did you say you guys did over at Tuscany?
Friday night. In the first, like, 2 hours, I think it was 280.
And you ended the night at, what, 5-something?
What's that?
You ended the night at, what, over 5, right? That's what the text was. I think it was, like, 520 or 510 or something like that. I mean, which is just insane.
You're not going to learn that in culinary school.
Yeah.
To handle that.
That's just
no, I mean, not at all. It was great though. It's like you're getting your ass kicked. You look up, you look down, and the night's over.
Yeah, that's the best time when you're prepped, and that's like life. It's like anything. It's all in the prep. There's no better feeling for me in a restaurant if it's 10 minutes of five, and all the stations are completely stocked to the gills, and everything is perfectly where you want it to be, and you're just like ready to go, like bring it on.
But dude, as a private chef, I gotta tell you, as a private chef, I don't miss that. Oh my god, he texted me that many covers. I was like, fuck me, that sounds awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still do events, like, you know, like 10,000 people, and it's a much different type of thing, but you're still cooking massive volumes of food. I just enjoy being a private chef that I can take time, and if I'm doing a dinner for 20 people, that I can concentrate on every single plate and, like, do some more fun things that I wouldn't necessarily have time to do if we're doing 500 covers. It's like, bang it out, bang it out, bang it out, bang it out. So I like being able to spend more time on the food, to do some fun things, and to kind of go with the flow. Because, you know, private chef world, like, things change. Extra people show up, or they want something different. It's not like you have a huge walk-in cooler that you can be like, oh, no problem, I can make you that, gluten-free, you know, everything-free, whatever. So, I mean, you have to be creative and think on your feet, and it's not as easy as a lot of people might think it would be.
No, 100% right about that, dude. That's so the truth, brother. You have to work on the fly. It's that simple.
And if you're not prepared, you're going to get caught with your dick in your hand because you are in the middle of the Hamptons in somebody's house, you know, 30 minutes, an hour with traffic from the closest market. So we have to work with what you got.
Yeah. You're like, hey, we might have better luck if I just take a spear and go out to the water and catch us a fish.
Exactly. And I saw you in, what was it, Gossman's Fish Market?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
And we're both getting ready for an event. It's like, okay, what do I need? I got to get this. I got to get that. I got to make sure I have everything. So just in case, we got to grab this. This is always good to have. You know, if you don't have the luxury of that. I mean, we work in some great kitchens, but you don't have the luxury of that industrial kitchen with everything at your fingertips.
No, not at all. But I wouldn't do anything different, man. I was with my clients today, and I told them, I was like, I feel like I'm going to withdrawals. Like, I miss the salty air. I miss, you know, Montauk is definitely in the Hamptons. It's a different world. It's not real life.
No, for sure it's not. And when I was out there, when I saw you, I did a birthday dinner for Jim Courier, the tennis player. Yeah. And the next night I did a bachelorette party for like 20 girls.
So fun.
But you know, all different menus, different kitchen, different clientele, much different vibe. So that's what I'm really enjoying, is that every night it's something different, you know. It could be 15 girls just having a blast on their bachelorette party. It could be a celebrity's birthday party. It could be fine dining. It could be a lobster bake. Like, it's really keeping it fresh and new and fun for me, which I love.
No doubt about it. Hey, our buddy Dimitri's chiming in from the big city, New York. He's talking about, he's chiming in. He remembers those high cover nights, too, and he says he misses them dearly. It's just kind of funny. I'm like, I guess in a way I miss them. I remember doing 2,500 in Florida. 2,500, myself, another cook and the chef, and that's all we had. And then chef hits us 2 days before Kev. He's like, oh, by the way, I want to do an action station with prawns. And I'm like, with who?
You're going to be hiring four more guys to run that station while we do 2,500 covers?
Oh, dude, it was the grand opening of the club at Hammock Beach. And it was Lonnie, myself. I got to get Lonnie back on here. Lonnie Hugh is the guy who's kind of my mentor. He's an amazing chef, a great human being. He's not a great human being. He's a terrible human being. But I'll never forget. He said, oh, by the way, and we're going to make an action station. And I was like, you son of a bitch.
Oh, that's the worst. You know, I don't miss I miss like the feeling of being in the pocket and you're doing 500 covers and you're just banging it out. The synchronicity of everything, and you're working with the other chefs and everything's rolling, and then the very end of the night where it's all done. Like, I do miss those two feelings. Like, that's a high that you can't get anywhere else, is that just cranking on a Saturday night with, you know, unstoppable, and food's going out, nothing's ever coming back, everything's perfect, everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. That's definitely a good feeling.
That's the world you're in, Dave, right? Right now, things are kind of rocking and rolling, even though you're doing 500 covers, it's pretty smooth.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, that's pretty much what I live for, at least right now. So I dig it. I like the high numbers.
Oh, for sure. And if you got the staff, I mean, you got some good staff with you, there's nothing you can't do. I mean, you can easily do that kind of stuff if you got the right crew. you know, of badass chefs with you that are willing to bang it out.
Yeah,
it's it. When you don't that it becomes an issue. Saute guy called in, dishwasher's broken, 16 other things are going wrong. Those are the nights I don't miss. I mean, they're fun when you solve the problem and you get through the night and it's a success, but, you know, it's just, there's a lot of unknowns. And, well, a place like Tuscany, I'm sure you definitely have a good team with you.
Oh, definitely, definitely. That's one of the things I'm realizing pretty quick. Everybody just kind of falls into place and they know what to do to make it work.
Yeah, but not necessarily a place like Tuscany, but some of the better restaurants now are like, there's so many restaurants out there that the chefs or the cooks are not afraid to just walk out and go to the next place because they don't have that pressure that we had 15 or 20 years ago. When you get a good chef job, you hold on to it because there's 10 restaurants on their corner that are going to pay the same thing. So if they don't like you, screw you, they're not showing up. You know, that's kind of the where we're at in the restaurant world these days with people have so many options. It wasn't always like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's the shortage because it is like a cook's playing field. If you're a cook and you want to work somewhere, just drop your resume. Chances are you'll at least get a starting position somewhere.
And it used to be just the opposite. It was tough to get into those good spots because everybody was holding on. They were, you know, true to their chefs. They wanted to stay, make them proud, do the thing, and never leave. Eventually, when you spread your wings and go somewhere else, that's the normal evolution. But nowadays, it's like, why do I need to deal with this? I can leave here and walk across the street and start tomorrow.
Yep, and then they're like, I'm even getting an extra 50 cents more. Like, that's going to be some sort of life-changing thing as opposed to going with you know, the education behind it and kind of, like, struggling a little bit and then thinking more down the line.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, sometimes when you have that job, though, Chef, and you can vouch for this, man, especially when you're young in the business and coming up, them giving you that 50 cents more is like that big pat on the back. It's that big like validation for you. Because as cooks, a lot of us have low self-esteem, and we need that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I just think, I mean, I'm not saying everybody for sure, but there should be like an integrity behind it. Like you're
totally. I mean, you got to have the integrity behind it. It's. But that validation is nice to have from people when you're working your ass off in the kitchen.
No, this isn't working. Thanks, but I'm going across the street. Fine. You know, nobody's going to, you're going to get pissed for a minute, but nobody, you're not going to burn any bridges that way. Just, you know, say I'm moving on and move on rather than, you know, there's no real attachment anymore because the market is so saturated with restaurants and not enough chefs and cooks.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Dave, you want to tell everybody they can learn a little bit more about Chef Kev and where they can find some more information on him?
Oh, for sure. You can check him out at chefkevd.com. Make sure to pick up a copy of his book, Beyond My Chef Coat.
Dude, let's talk about the book for a second, brother. What's the book about? Now, I haven't seen this, and I'm sorry, and I feel bad. Normally, I do a lot of homework, and I know my guests very well. Dude, this book, tell me about it. Is this a cookbook that we're talking about here?
Yeah, so it's a little cookbook. It's more of a compilation of the last 20 years. I was at a point where I had so many recipes and pictures and things that, I mean, I was like, I could actually put this together and not have to do a lot of new stuff, which I did anyway. But, you know, I have recipes and pictures for the last 20 years. I did some new stuff and did a whole photo shoot with a bunch of new dishes. And then a compilation of the last 20 years, some dishes from different restaurants and things that I've done.
Right.
And then there's a ton of pictures, and then I have like 4 or 5 short stories about different points in my career, how I started out, kind of when I got my first exec chef job, when I opened my first restaurant, and then kind of it was, you know, fast forward to now where I get to do more fun stuff, which is the whole Beyond My Chef Coat angle that, you know, I get to go on a yacht and cook with Kevin Bacon or whatever it might be, work with Cool Band or the Patriots or anything like that, which when you're stuck in a restaurant, you can't really do. So that's the whole kind of Beyond My Chef Coat theme. And there's also like a dozen or so cocktails right in the middle. So it's a cookbook. There's cocktails. There's stories. A bunch of cool pictures. It was a fun thing for me to kind of put all out there and get it all out instead of having, you know, 40 recipes in all different emails and pictures all just strewn everywhere. Let's like put it all together and make a book.
Yeah. And the book's available where, man? Where can you pick that book up at?
If you go to chefkevd.com and click on the book, it'll take you right to Amazon where it's available.
Nice, man. That's awesome, dude. Well, what a great idea to write a book like that, man. I'm actually working on a book myself, but it's not a cookbook. It's a book about
being an angry, hateful chef.
I'm kidding.
Is that what it is?
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Maybe a little bit, but
I wanted to tell a couple stories and just like, you know, and revisiting those times and thinking about those restaurants and the things that I'd done in the last 20 plus years was really cool for me.
Yeah.
And to put it on paper, but I just didn't want it to be like you open it up there. Here's 50 recipes. Go cook these at home.
Yeah, right. Because I mean, that's the hardest part. Although cookbooks are one of the, you know, as far as books go, are one of the few things that actually still sell.
Yeah. I try to do a progression, like some recipes from early in my career, and I would tell stories about the restaurants I was at that point, and then to the middle, to kind of more on the fun stuff that I'm doing now. So I kind of try to make it like a progression throughout the whole book.
Nice, man. Nice.
So you read a chapter, and then there's a handful of recipes. So you read a chapter, and there's another handful of recipes. So I kind of broke it up like that, so you could kind of just go through it and then go back to the recipes whenever you wanted.
And you're a cocktail guy, man. You said there's cocktails in the book as well, right? I mean, in the middle of the book. I've seen you also doing tons of like TV spots and stuff and talking about the vodka and doing cocktails, man, because you're a cocktail guy.
Love cocktails.
I love cocktails.
I work with the vodka. I love cocktails. I work with the guys from Kiel Vodka and Matt Light from the Patriots, and I've worked with them since they were just a small little vodka company in Rhode Island. Now available in like 25 states, so it kind of just stuck with me. And I would always work with their mixologist, because if I was doing Better Connecticut or CT Style or Today Show or The Better Show or any of these things, I kind of wanted to do something a little different, because we all go on there and just make a recipe and it's cool, but I wanted to pair a cocktail and say, make this recipe, but also make this cocktail, or make them together or make them separately, or just to try to do something a little different. So that's kind of how that partnership happens. And then we've just stuck together throughout this whole evolution, and now they're in Colorado and Florida. And
it's amazing.
They're just blowing up.
Well, the thing was, to be honest with you, man, I was about to ask you to come on and be a guest on a Restaurant Road Trip this upcoming season when we start shooting, but I forgot you're a Patriots fan. That might ruin everything for you. I'm just saying. Listen, I'm a diehard Steelers fan, and I live in a family full of Patriots fans. My brother-in-law has a suite, right? I mean, he's friends with Robert Kraft. Like, it's just a mess. He's always like, hey, do you want to come to a game and hang out in the box? I'm like, no, I don't want to go to the Patriots game. I have no urge to go there. Or he's like, hey, do you want to come watch the Patriots and Steelers game? I'm like, no, I don't. Thank you, no. I don't want to.
It's still a really fun time. And look, food and cocktails and that, I mean, that trumps everything, right? We're trying to have
fun. Totally. It's about having fun. That's what matters, man. It's about having a good time in football. Yeah. And of course, dude, I'm just busting balls, you know? I'm just busting balls. It's one of those things where it's
New England fan.
Yeah. I mean, no hatred, brother. Just, you know what it is? The bottom line is this. I am pissed off that my team tied with the Browns yesterday. Are you fucking kidding me?
Is that a thing?
That's what I said. I'm like, man. We're supposed to be a Super Bowl contender, and we're tying with the Browns? What?
The Browns are the bottom of the barrel still.
Well, I don't know. Dave just texted me the score. He's a Detroit fan. He texted me the score of the Detroit game, and well, I don't know if you saw it, but it's 48-17 Jets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I'm used to it by now, but
the only thing worse than tying with the Browns would be losing to the Jets.
By that much, yeah, for sure.
Wow. Yeah, man, football season is a great time, man. I love it. It's a lot of fun. I've done some work with Taste of the NFL and with the NFL itself. And what, I mean, a lot of fun. It's a great time of year. And, of course, yourself working with, you know, Matt Light, obviously former New England Patriot, doing all kinds of food stuff. And we should do something together with football, because we're both football fans.
We certainly should. I do these VIP tailgates at Gillette, but we can go anywhere. You can do them in Pittsburgh, wherever you want. I'm there for the food. Obviously, I want my team to win, but when I'm there, like, chefing it up, I want to be putting out the best food possible, no matter what city I'm in. So that kind of is above everything else. So I think we should definitely set something up like that.
That'd be a lot of fun, man. That would be fun, you know. Especially now, I'm just back to my kids are the age now where I'm able to do things again, which is nice. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, mine are not. It's tough, but
your wife hates you.
That's the other thing. if it's work related, then that's a different story. So if we're doing something if food in the food world, then you know that's work for me. So I can still go.
Dude, so how much does your family hate when you're hanging out in the Hamptons and she's like, oh, you're hanging out with Plum at a bar at a beautiful yacht club. Oh, that sounds great. Sounds like you're working hard, asshole. Like, if you get the same thing I get.
That's the other thing. I mean, it's perception versus reality, right? So that 2 hours that we got to hang out was awesome. But the six-hour drive there and the ferries there and back and food and the cooking and the 14 hours before that, wasn't a vacation.
So it's kind of like,
you know, oh, what are you doing at the bar? Well, you know, I just paid the bills for the month on this party, so let's let me have a beer and relax.
Right. I think I earned a beverage here. Relax, right?
Yeah. So those times are few and far between, but you definitely gotta try to enjoy yourself a little bit too. Especially when you travel a lot. Like, you don't always have time to do those things and you can't be feeling like crap the next day either.
Right. So well, like I was telling you before we went on the air, man, I was running pretty hard this summer, and you know, I'm trying to tone it back a little bit here for a few weeks. And I mean, I really was, dude. You get off work late. Everyone knows the story. It's the same story. You get off work late. You're hungry. You haven't had any dinner. You go have a few.
Two days I got here.
Oh, gentlemen, I apologize. We had quite the issue there. I think everything blew up on me. But we got it reconnected. The good thing is we're almost done, so we'll have to do some editing here in the cut on iTunes. But you know, it's live things can happen, right?
Yeah, we were talking about getting a cocktail and running ragged after a crazy summer.
Oh. What it's about, man. What do you think, man? Do we live in a world now where people do that too much as far as chefs? Because I know some guys are, you know, not really with that as much as we used to be, especially us old guys who have been doing it for 25 years.
I think the old school guys are still with it and still hit it hard. I mean, I think you and I are both smart enough to do it when we get to pick our spots. I mean, there's still, you know, we probably still have six and we should have had three.
Yeah.
But it's not the 4 in the morning nights or anything like that anymore. So it's like, you know, have a couple beers. You know, generally you're always wired from putting on a good party or doing 500 covers at Tuscany. You're pretty psyched up. You're not going to be able to pass right out. That's not for sure.
You got to have a cocktail, right? You got to have something just to mellow you out.
Yeah, go shoot the shit with the team, have a cocktail, kind of wind down a little bit, and then do it all again the next day.
God, that's exactly what it is. I have to do it tomorrow again in New York City, man. That's just...
I'm in New York City Friday night.
Are you really? I'll be out in Long Island, man. I should have hit you up. I could use a pair of hands Friday night.
I'm going to be there working. I got a cocktail party for 30.
Oh, nice.
In Manhattan. So I'm in and out. And then I have Boston on Sunday. So it's still at it, man. Just kind of rolling with it.
That's it, man. That's it. That's what we do. It's the hustle. It's the hustle of being a private chef. I mean, you got to constantly keep hustling to get work, which is one of the things I think that we can do that, you know, not everybody can do. That's why there are guys who don't succeed at doing this sort of thing.
Well, at the end of the day, you still have to do a good job. You can get that. I can get the job on the boat with the big, you know, A-list athlete, but if I shit the bed, I'm not going to ever get that again. You have to execute, yeah, whether it's Montauk or Newport or Boston or New York City. It's like you can always book those jobs. You know, at the beginning, you can book a couple, but they'll never book you again. And,
right.
And the thing with us, it's a lot of repeat business, and they all talk to each other, and they all are connected in a different world. So it's like you gotta have your A game. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt about it, brother. Dave, give him one more plug for Kev so we can find out more information about him so we know where people can learn more about him.
All right, we're hanging out with Chef Kevin Deshane. You can check him out at chefkevd.com. And make sure to check out his book, Beyond My Chef Coat.
Which is more than just a cookbook. There's some stories there, some great photography, even some cocktails, because Kev is a cocktail guy. I love a cocktail myself. Hey, Kev, you want to make fun of me? You can make fun of me. Tonight, I was having a little bit of Tito's vodka with diet ginger beer and lime.
Listen, whatever floats your boat these days, I don't judge. So whatever it takes, I'm drinking the Kiel vodka, which is a little lighter in alcohol, but less calories, no sugar, gluten free, and you can definitely feel pretty good after a couple of cocktails, but the next day you feel like half as bad as you would if you drank any of those other big boys. So whatever works for you these days. No fun.
I'm going to get some of this Kilo Vodka. This sounds pretty good.
And you could sip it on the rocks with a lime. It's not like the Stolies of the world where, it's vodka. It's 80 proof, so it'll punch you in the face. But this is only 50, this is only 50 proof, and that's the thing. People are like, oh, it's light. And then I've been at events with certain Patriots, 350-pound linemen or whatever, that get carried out because they said it was light vodka and they had 10 of them. But guess what? It's still 50 proof, and your Bud Light is only, 3.
Oh my
so
God.
It's still vodka, it's just a little lighter, and it's trying to, the whole tagline is stay balanced, so you can still have cocktails, and you can still be social, and you can still go out and do your thing, but you can also still be a businessman or a chef or the next day without being, completely debilitated, because at 43, if I have 5 Stolies, I lose the whole next day.
That's it.
Or something like that in that realm. I'm not saying it doesn't still happen, but if I have 4 or 5 keels, I'll still be a little tired, but I feel a million times better than I would if I went the other route. So it's just a way to, to still enjoy yourself and not quite get that way anymore.
Dude, I love it. It sounds great, man. I got to try to see if I can get some of that here in Connecticut. If not, I'll find it in New York City, right?
Oh, it's available in Connecticut, New York, wherever. I'll send you some soon if I don't see you.
Dude, I'd love to have it, man. Brother, listen, you're the man. I love talking to you. I could talk to you for another 2 hours, but we probably shouldn't do that because we both have to work. But
that's right.
Dude, I do appreciate your time tonight, man. You're awesome. I look forward to it. I should have you on. We do a roundtable. You'd be a great guy to talk to.
Let's do it. And then let's do the road trip, too. I love that show.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, we're getting geared up. We should start shooting here very, very soon.
Even though I'm a Patriots fan, you can overlook that.
I mean, listen, it is going to be a notch against you. I'm just saying. I'm kidding. Kev, man, we appreciate your time tonight, my brother. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you on down the road.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk soon.
See you, buddy.
All right.
All right, there he goes, Dave. The one and only chef, Kevin DeShane. What a good dude, right?
Yeah, he seems pretty cool for sure.
Yeah, he's a good cat, man. Look forward to chatting with him, hopefully at Food and Wine this year at Mohegan. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for the technical difficulties we've had. I thought we had them fixed. I've had the cable company over here twice now. Looks like it's going to be a third time. They just can't get their shit straight, Dave. I don't know what to do. They said they were making it better. I think they've made it worse.
I mean, is it Comcast or something?
It's Spectrum. And I'm upstairs. I'm next to my modem right now. And now I'm getting 2 gigabytes of download and 1 gigabyte of upload. So there's no problem. But if I get 5 feet away from it, it falls apart.
Might just need a better router.
Well, I just bought a better router. I mean, this is all bullshit conversations. Yeah, you would think. There's so many things you would think would work, and especially for $70 a month I'm paying for internet.
Yeah, it should just work.
I mean, I should have massive internet. I should have no problems, but, I'm going to talk to him. Anyway, this is neither here nor there. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Dave, always a pleasure, dude. You got into a nice little rhythm there with Chef Kev.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he started talking about something that I was like, oh yeah, I definitely agree with a lot of this going on, because technically I fall into that whole generational thing where somebody will just walk out, but I don't really identify with that.
Not at all. Well, dude, I'm glad things are going well for you at the restaurant. And Kev, big shout out to him. Check him out at chefkevd.com, and of course online on the internet. You can go to Amazon and you can find his book, Beyond the Kitchen, right? I'm sorry, Beyond My Chef Coat is the name of Kev's book. Beyond My Chef Coat. Remember that? That was the right name, right?
Yep, Beyond My Chef Coat.
Big shout out to our friends over at Lion Threads. We're going to announce on Instagram. We'll announce this week. We're going to do a contest where you can get yourself. Dave, what can they win on that contest?
Pretty sure it's your choice of a hat or a shirt. We'll have a little more details hammered out, but yeah. Probably do a coupon code, so you can kind of just go figure out what you want to grab and do it yourself.
Oh, that's cool. So it's almost a gift card there. You can just kind of go and get whatever you want from the website, like a shirt or a hat, and have it shipped to you. We'll come up with a fun contest for everybody, and we'll get that worked out. We'll post it, and we'll push it and announce the winner next week here on the program.
For sure.
And I think the program's going to be on Tuesday next week because the Steelers are playing Monday night.
That's fine. I'm pretty sure I have to work Wait. Like 10.
That's not true. Sorry, go ahead. Tell your story.
I said, all right, I think I have to work till like 10 Monday night, so Tuesday works if that's the case.
We'll figure it out. I think I might have the weeks wrong. I think tomorrow, next weekend's a 1 o'clock game, but I'm basing the whole radio show on when the football game is, and this is all nonsense talk. So let's end this program, man. Dave, I appreciate your time tonight, man. Thanks for coming on the show and hanging and talking and being a part of the conversation. Pleasure as always, sir.
Anytime, bro. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Of course, man. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give the time it deserves. We'll see you next week. Take care, guys. Peace.
Why are we arguing? If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.